Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, are you excited this afternoon? Oh, morning, actually. Well, God is awesome. He is with us. God is with us. We're not just celebrating the birth of a baby. We're not just celebrating another birthday, but we are celebrating the fact that God came down from on high. He came down and he became a man. He is Emmanuel, God with us. This is what we are celebrating. We are excited for the fact that God loved us so much that he sent forth his son, his only begotten son, that you and I may have life and have it everlasting. Jesus came to be our liberator, the one who became the example for all to follow, that we would be able to experience the power of God in our lives. Heaven came down to earth and has now given us the opportunity to dwell in the presence of God, in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this day and about what the Lord is doing among us. And it is worth giving him the glory and the honor and the praise for, isn't it? Isn't he worthy? He is so worthy. He's been so good to us. And throughout the challenges and the difficulties that we faced, God has been faithful. And I am so grateful and thankful. And as was earlier mentioned, we have made arrangements for you to share with some Christmas cookies that my daughter made for us. And it's just to say thank you and to acknowledge all of your sacrifices and all that you guys have done over the past few months, especially with Pastor Appreciation and all the different things that we've celebrated through Thanksgiving. And you guys have been so awesome toward us. And we're just so thankful to God. And I thought it would be a great opportunity for us to share. And why not around the birth of Christ and all that he has done for us. So enjoy on your way out. Don't forget to stop and have some. The hot chocolate is phenomenal with a little marshmallow. Yeah, you know. Hallelujah. So glory to God. Well, we have been talking about God coming down from on high and how he does amazing things in our lives so that we would have reason to proclaim and magnify the Lord. God is always working. He's always doing things. The question is, can we see it? Do we recognize when God is doing things? And when we are able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and we're able to see what God is doing, Satan always stirs up a cloud and a whirlwind and tries to bring in distractions to get us to focus on the wrong thing or to get hung up in things that are just there to keep us from persevering in God. It's easy to be distracted, but God, he gives us the ability to see. He enables us to hear and enables us to recognize the things of God. And that's what life is. It's full of opportunity to recognize what God is doing so we can avoid the pitfalls and the difficulties that the enemy has already laid out for us. And God enables us to see. God enables us to hear. God enables us to know his will and to operate in the dynamics of his strength, his power, so that his will can be accomplished among us. And so I would like to ask this question today: can you follow what you cannot see or hear? And the answer is no. It's you cannot follow what you cannot see or what you cannot hear. And so God says, follow me. Isn't that what Jesus said? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so in order to follow, you have to keep your eyes on Jesus so that you can keep track of the changes that we go through as life comes our way so that we can follow his path and overcome. It's hard to go through life blinded. where you can't see. So many people, you ask them, what is the Lord saying? They don't know. When you ask them, well, what has the Lord been doing in your life? They don't know. They can't tell. They don't know what God is doing. But they can tell you everything that goes wrong. They can tell you the problems and the difficulties that they faced. But I can assure you that the problems and the difficulties that we face are for no reason, but they are opportunities for God to be glorified. And when we can recognize God's ability to work in our lives, it changes everything for us. And so I would like to use as a theme today, do you hear what I hear and see? Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we just ask God that you would come down in the midst of us, Lord, in our hearts, in our minds, in our very life experiences, and demonstrate your ways to us, your will to us, your love for us, and all that you desire to see come to life in the midst of us. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us, Lord, that we would be able to follow you through the obstacles that life brings, that you would be able to give us these Magnificat experiences from on high that will cause us to proclaim and magnify the Lord. We are so grateful, Lord, as we give thanks to you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, O God. Amen and amen. Well, there is nothing greater than the love of God. It is so much beyond what we could know or understand. And that is why when we go through life, it is filled with obstacles, filled with difficulties and hardships, because the world is in a fallen condition and the whole dynamic of the world that's at work is to keep people from experiencing God, from entering into relationship with God, from being able to know him in the power of his presence and the ways of the Lord so that we can overcome the strategies of the enemy. And Satan, he comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And you and I are victims of these obstacles and these tactics that Satan brings our way all the time. But the word of God tells us that God will work all things out for our good. And so no matter how hard it is, no matter how challenging it is, no matter how difficult it is, God has a strategy. He has a plan. We just need to be able to see. We need to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying so that we can follow him and he can bring forth fruit in our lives 30, 60, and 100-fold. We would experience the dynamics of his power and his presence, and the anointing of God will destroy the yokes of bondage and he will set the captives free. He will liberate all of us as we go through life. We are filled with all types of oppression and bondage that gets thrown at us and even upon us. And we know that as soon as you've overcome one situation, it seems like here comes another. But that's the way life is. But God says, be of good cheer. He says, be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I have overcome the world. And you and I are able to overcome the world when our faith is in Christ, when we're looking to him, when we're seeing what he sees. And so in Matthew 15:14, Jesus tells the disciples when they complain about the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, leave them alone. He says, they are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. And this is something that's very interesting, because here are two religious groups, one the scribes and the Pharisees, and then we have the disciples of Jesus, all supposedly representing the kingdom of God, representing the will of God, the word of God, one around the law of Moses and the other one building upon the law of Moses. And so the idea is that there are people who are part of the church that claim to be Christians that are supposedly in a relationship with God, but they are blind guides of the blind. They're not able to see. They're not in that place where they're able to hear. And we have to be careful. we have to be careful, and we can't fix every problem in every situation. We have to leave people alone sometimes. Sometimes you just have to leave things alone and follow the word of God. We have to make sure that we are operating in wisdom, that we are walking in the righteousness of God. The world is designed to ensnare us. And there are demonic forces at work that will cause people to see things that are not accurate and things that are not right and not true. And if we're not careful, it's easy to be deceived. The word of God says in the last days that there will be great deception and that many will be deceived. He said, if it were possible, the only thing that saves us from deception is our relationship with God, being able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and to recognize what God is doing and to see the hand of God. And as long as we're able to have a revelation from God, we're able to hold on even when it seems like we just aren't sure. But we hold on. And God will make a way. He will open the doors and he will show you. He will reveal the darkness and expose it when his light shines, and God will enable us to overcome. And so we don't have to be discouraged when we go through challenges and difficulties. That's what life is. Life is a series of obstacles, challenges, and difficulties. We can rejoice because we have a secret. We have a secret weapon. We have a helper. We have a guide. And the Lord says, follow me. I know the way. And he is the light that shines in the darkness. And we keep our eyes on him. We follow him. And we're able to overcome. We don't want to follow other people. Because when you follow people, you'll find yourself in a situation where you just might be following the blind. And you end up in a ditch. You end up in a pit. And so we have to be careful. We have to be wise so that we can know what the will of the Lord is. There's nothing worse than following people who have no idea where they're going, no idea what they're doing. And you and I, we're filled with people all around us that have no idea. And everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an idea. Everybody has a thought and a way that they feel is right. But I tell you, it's the blind leading the blind. Trust in the word of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Don't believe every spirit, right? That's what the word of God tells us. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether or not it is of God. And the way we test the spirit is to align with the word. And if things don't work out the way the word of God says they ought to work out, then you know that that is a form of deception. It's a tool that is designed to be a distraction in your life. And God says, hold on and trust me in all your ways. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And so often we hear this verse quoted and people will say, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But they skip the meat of it, which is, I know them. He says, I know them. I know them. And saints of God, when God knows you and you know him, oh, the love of God, it just changes the dynamics of everything. And you will be able to follow him like a child follows their parent. And even as a child follows the parent because the child knows them. Have you ever seen a child when they're lost? Have you ever seen them? Have you ever had a lost child? And they're just standing there and all of a sudden the world gets big. All of a sudden, everything is huge. You're surrounded by strangers. You don't know anybody. You can't see, where's my family? Where's my mom? Where's my dad? Where are my brothers, my sisters? Where is everybody? And this is how the world is when we go out into the workplace, when we go out and we have to engage in the community and with people. Sometimes the world gets overwhelming. We're listening to media and news and we're hearing all these stories from all around the world. They're coming from everywhere. They're coming from social media, from TV, from movies, the propaganda and all the information, and it's designed to rob, kill, and destroy. because it is the wind of the spirit of darkness, and it is blowing in order to cause fear and opposition to the ways of the Lord, to the will of God. But we have to learn how to press in. We have to learn how to hold on. We have to follow the example that Jesus has given us in the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He has come alive. This is the miracle of Christmas, is that God left the heavenlies and became a man. Huge, awesome God who is outside of creation. He is outside of the universe and all that we know. He is so much bigger, yet he comes down into our little lives. Oh, saints of God, I know if you've been in a plane and if you've seen images from the space stations and from the spaceships out of space, the Earth looks like a little ball, like you could just grab it and you could go, oh, look at that. You know, God is even bigger, so much bigger. You know, it's like we're like a speck. As he says, you are like dust. We're like dust. And you and I, we see ourselves as we're so big. Oh, the world is big. God says, no, you're dust. From dust you came, dust you shall return. He says, don't misunderstand what life is. It's just specks of dust telling other specks of dust what their opinion or thoughts are. Isn't that cute? God says, there's so much more to this than you will ever know or understand. And Jesus says, listen for my voice. I know you. I formed you out of the dust of the earth. Just follow me. Just follow me. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about anyone else. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You will have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. God will make a way. And when you know him, when you love him, you keep his commandments and you abide in his ways and you follow his word, his direction. Jesus said, my sheep hear. It's hard to follow what you can't see. And the world is filled with challenges that are designed to keep us in darkness, to keep us blinded so that we cannot see and we cannot hear. Have you ever been in situations where you try to explain things to someone in a way that they would understand it because they're just not really getting the right perspective, or they're not really hearing things clearly, and they're so believing what they want to believe. They're holding on to what they want to hold on to, and you're trying to help them have clarity and see there's more to the story, so much bigger than what you thought, than what you think. There's way more going on than you could ever realize, and they're just stuck, and they're like, no. Have you ever been in that situation where you're trying to communicate and it doesn't seem to get through? Well, that's what God is dealing with. God is dealing with that with us. And we need to be able to hear. And God is saying, trust me. Trust me. Follow me. And I will let you see and know. I will show you. In Luke 3:22, it says, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, talking about Jesus when he got baptized by John the Baptist. It says, in bodily form, like a dove, it came down. A voice came out of heaven and said, you are my beloved son. In you I am well pleased. We see the picture. God didn't just speak with a voice from heaven, but the dove came down so that they could see something. God always gives us something tangible to see, something to relate to, so that we can understand. When we hear and see, it brings greater clarity. It helps our perspective shift just enough to have faith, to trust God, to follow him, to apply his principles and his ways in our life. And my sheep hear. The hearing impacts the mind and leads to understanding. When you finally hear, you ever heard, I remember in the days people used to say, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you feel me? Right? You've heard those phrases, right? And what does that mean? It means, are you understanding? Are you really grasping what it is that is happening, that I'm saying? Do you have it? Do you own it? Is it really impacting your heart so that it will change the way you operate or the way you do things? Because it's what we do that God is concerned about. He's concerned about the ways. It's not just believing, it's about having the right way, having a way that reflects the kingdom of God, because the things that we do are what bring life or death. And when we are experiencing God and we do things the right way, the kingdom of God manifests itself. And so you and I are given opportunities over and over again to have dynamic experiences that will cause us to recognize God and give him the glory and the honor and praise he deserves. In verse 33 of John 1, it says, "I did not recognize him," John the Baptist again, "but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me," John the Baptist heard. He heard what God's saying. Do you hear what God is saying to you today? Do you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying when God speaks to you as you go through your day? Every day, God is speaking. God is ministering to us. He is revealing things to us. Every experience, every encounter that we have is designed to help us to have more faith and trust in God, to recognize him in our lives. It says, "He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit." Wow, this is amazing. Here we see that it tells us that after John heard what the Spirit of the Lord said, God was enabled him to see something. And that's how this works. When you're in a right relationship with God, when you hear him, when you're feeling him, when you're experiencing God, he gives you something to see. All of a sudden, your eyes open because the ears of your mind were receptive to the word and the ways of God, and your heart was impacted. But then when your eyes are open, man, it changes the direction in which you walk. Now you're following him. And so many people say, I believe. And believing is good. That means you've heard and you would believe it. Now it might be something that's really anchored in your heart. But until you see, you will not move in the right direction. And once you have eyes to see, you will begin to live a different life. You will begin to walk differently. You will begin to follow him. And it's about being able to see. You and I, we need eyes to see, not just ears to hear, not just the ability to believe. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. No, but do you see the magnitude of the kingdom of God, how it's literally at work in the midst of the earth, all around us, impacting our lives every single day? Do you see the dynamics of spiritual warfare as it takes place? Do you recognize when you see things happening in people's lives and people responding and doing things particular ways? Those are images that we ought to be able to recognize. You have to have eyes to see. And if we don't recognize the things in the spirit, we will be deceived by the very thing that's bringing destruction into people's lives. And that is why the Holy Spirit is so important. There's a reason he's our counselor. He's our advisor. He's the parakletos in the Greek. He's the one who comes alongside us and he leads us and he directs us so that we can follow him. And that is what God has done. That is why Jesus came into this world. And so seeing changes our perspective and affects our motivations. Your motivation gets changed when you have the ability to see. When you recognize something, it changes everything when you're able to see. When you're able to see when Satan is at work in your life and in other people's lives, it changes the way you engage in the world, because you recognize when someone is under demonic opposition, which is every day. Every day. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places every single day. And every person you and I encounter is under the influence of some spirit. And we've got to be able to see. In fact, whenever you hear personality, you hear about that word personality, think spirit. You think spirit. And that's why birds of a feather flock together. And that's why people who are of an unsettling spirit, when your spirit is not right, you're roaming, you're over here, then you're over there, and then you're going this way, and then you're going that way, and you're all over. And if you follow the blind, leading the blind, you end up in a ditch. Sooner or later, you've got to anchor down. You've got to establish roots. You've got to spring forth so you can bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. I've never looked at a fruit tree like the one I have in my yard and got up the next day and it was over on the other side of the yard. And then another day it's over somewhere else in another part of the yard. And maybe another day it's just gone completely. Went on vacation. I don't know when it'll be back. If you're going to bring forth fruit, you've got to plant yourself and grow. And when you're planted, when you're anchored in, God brings revelation to you. He begins to show you things. Sometimes God shows us one thing and we go running, oh, wow, oh, wow, and we're all over the place chasing that. No, no, God says, stand still. You stand still. And God will continue to reveal what it is that he is doing, where he's going in the ways of the Lord. In fact, we'll never know where God is going. Did you know that? We'll never know. The Spirit of God, John 3, right? It says the spirit blows, the wind blows like the wind. No one knows where it's going or where it's coming from. And so is everyone who's born of the Spirit of God. God is leading us through life. He's guiding us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. All we know is we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. It's why he came into the world. He came to be a living example for us. That is why he was born in the world. And this is why in Mark 8, 18 and 19, he says, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Here the disciples were, they were having this discussion over the food, right? Jesus was feeding this multitude of people and the disciples were getting all bent out of shape because there were so many people and they didn't have enough food again. And so Jesus is saying, wait a minute, having eyes, don't you see? Can't you see with your eyes what has been happening? What's been happening? How many times does God do amazing, incredible things in our life? And then we get down the road a few years later and we are faced with an oppositional situation or a situation that is bigger than us. And we start to get overwhelmed and we're saying, oh no, oh God. God says, wait. Don't you remember the last time we faced this similar situation? And God builds over and over again situations in our life that will enable us to have faith in God. And so every time we will have more faith in God. And I know we're big about the devil. Oh, the devil did this. Oh, that was demonic. Oh, not always. Oh, the devil is involved. But sometimes God uses the devil's ways so that you and I can grow, so that you and I can learn, so that you and I can have more faith in God because we realize it was, oh man, I don't know how I was going to get out of that. I don't know how this situation was going to work out. It was so overwhelming. All I could do was call out in Jesus' name, call out to God because there was no other way, no other hope. Have you ever been there? And somehow God does something. He does something. And all of a sudden, whew, things turn around. It turns around. And somehow you make a way. Your way is made. You navigate through and you come out on the other side. And there's this dynamic of the Spirit of God that worked in such a way. You don't even know what happened. You don't even understand how it happened. All you can do is glorify God. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for bringing me through. And then we face it again. We'll face one thing after the other. And sometimes we fail. We mess up, right? We do. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes God is saying, duck, 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 duck. And you're like, what? Poof. Oh, too late. You know, now you're in the hospital with a lump on your head, right? You need stitches or you got some crazy thing going on and you're trying to recover. And the Lord is like, yeah, the righteous will fall seven times, especially from a knock in the head. But you got to keep getting up. You got to keep getting up. And sometimes getting up is the hardest thing because it hurts. Getting up can hurt. There can be pain. There can be struggles and difficulties and challenges. But we have to get up. And we will, because the Word of God says the righteous will get up. They will get up. Doesn't say you might get up. Doesn't say you could get up. It says you will get up. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to raise you from the dead. He's going to raise you up in life. All of a sudden, he's going to pull the burdens off. He's going to lighten your load. Something happens in the Spirit, and God breaks the chains. He breaks the bonds, and the Spirit of God breathes on you, and you are lifted up in the fullness of the Spirit of God, and the next day, you're going, wow, I don't know why, but I feel better. I feel all right. Oh, man, I'm doing better. And sometimes, you know, we're so used to being beat down that we're not even sure. We're like, I think I feel better. I feel better, but I don't know. Should I get up? I don't know if that thing is still swinging or not. And we have to trust God and let God raise us up, and he will. And that's why we have to have eyes to see. We have to remember what God is doing. Seeing changes those perspectives, and he enables us to be motivated in the ways of the Lord so that God can be glorified. In Luke 1:26, we see this in the story of Jesus and his birth. We see that it says that the angel Gabriel was sent from God. Do you see that? Because God was working out a plan. God has a plan. He was working out his plan of redemption, his plan of salvation. So he had to send down from on high his messenger. And saints of God, you and I are experiencing that all the time. God speaks to us. God will send you a messenger. He will send somebody to speak into your life. You know, people who come from God don't always say, I got a word from the Lord. When I hear that, I get nervous. I'm like, oh boy. Now, which Lord are we talking about here? Is it Beelzebub? I don't know. You know, who are we talking about? And so God, he will send his word. He will send a messenger, and you will know when it's from God, because there's something in the Spirit that will enable you to see and enable you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And sometimes God will use an unbeliever, somebody who doesn't even know, the least expected person. He will use a donkey to speak into your life. Not somebody who's dressed with the scribes and the Pharisee outfit. Praise the Lord, I've got something for you. But God is often in the whisper. God is in the subtleties of life. God is in the simplicity of things. He is all around, and God will send his messenger, and he will use whoever he sees fit that will enable you to see, because it's a strategy. It's a divine plan. God wants us to see. He wants us to perceive and understand. So he sends people who will be able to speak in the right way that will enable us to see, because God cares and loves for us that much. He doesn't want us to just go along, you know, hoping that things are gonna work out, or hoping that maybe we'll make it, or it's gonna be okay. But he wants us to know, and he wants us to have confidence in him. And so he's always speaking. He's always revealing. He's always showing things. And God will bring people into your life, and he will use your everyday situations to glorify himself. Hallelujah. And you'll turn around and you'll say, wow, that was God. Have you ever had that happen to you? I mean, it was nothing spiritual or anything, but just things that it kind of happened. Things kind of come into play, and you get down the road. At the time, you're like not thinking much of it. You're like, oh yeah, that's great. And so you're like, okay, that's good. And you start going that way, you start doing this, and then you get down there and you're like, wow, you know what? That was God. That was God. God, he did something there. That was the Lord. And so often, I know for me, I look back over my life over the years, and I can see a lot better now than I could then, you know, that was God. That was God. And God is doing things now in your life that it may not seem like it's God, because you're in the thick of it.
But once you get clear, God begins to enable you to look back to remember. And you're like, that was God. That's what the disciples were experiencing. He said, remember the 5 loaves and the fish. I did it before. You can do it again. I can do it again. He says, I'm going to bring you through. Don't worry. What are you getting all worked up about? I will make a way even when it seems impossible. That's what God does. And so Gabriel was sent from God. He was sent from God, and God will speak to you. He will make a way for you. Verse 20 says, when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You know what? Thank God. Thank God for that angel of the Lord. Because there was no way Joseph was buying that Mary got pregnant from the Spirit of the Lord. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine? Think about that. Would you believe it? Would you believe it? All of a sudden, your daughter comes home and says, Mom, guess what? I've been impregnated by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know a mother in this world who's buying that story, right? No mother's buying that. Mama's not buying that. And daddy's not buying it either. He's loading the shotgun. He was like, oh yeah, show me the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's not an easy thing to believe. We read through the story and it's like, oh, it's so wonderful. You know, from 2,000 years later, yeah, it is. But when you're there and you're saying, wait a minute, what do you mean you're pregnant, Mary? What are you talking about? How could you be pregnant? You know, what are you doing? And could you imagine? You know how people are, right? You know, all of a sudden their emotions get stirred up. People say, oh, what are you talking about? Oh, come on now. Man, you're so ridiculous. That's crazy. You're gonna make up a fantastic story like that? That's just ridiculous, Mary. What do you think? We're all stupid? What do you think? We're crazy? What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit, right? How many days did he walk around going, oh no, what am I gonna do? He was contemplating. The scripture says, man, I love Mary so much. I don't want her. You know, they were engaged. She could have been stoned for that. She would have been stoned. But Joseph loved her so much, he didn't want her to be stoned. He just didn't want her to be pregnant by some other guy. He's like, maybe she's making a mistake. Maybe it's not really true. Until the angel showed up. And when the angel showed up, it changed everything. Joseph's like, Mary! Come here, baby. Let's talk about this child of God you're carrying. Oh, the angel came to me. I'm sure that was a burden off of Mary, right? Mary was probably thinking, what am I going to do? I'm going to be stoned. My husband's not going to believe this ridiculous story. It's crazy, I know, but I'm true. I know God spoke to me. I know the angel came. I saw him. I heard what he said. I heard correctly. And as a result, I know that the word of God is going to come to pass. I feel it in me. I feel him. I feel the Spirit of God. He's at work in me. And you and I, we need to feel the Spirit of God. We need to know the presence of God. We need to have assurance in Christ, in the Lord. God will reveal himself to you. So you don't have to just buy into. If God is doing so many magnificat experiences in our lives, you know, some of them are kind of out there. You would have to have a revelation from God. And that's what God does. He specializes in that. And so he says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That child is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Joseph is like, come here with that baby Jesus. Come on. Come on, Jesus. You and I, we need to celebrate that. That is amazing. And God has done amazing things in our life. And I know it's probably challenging to raise little baby Jesus. I mean, you got to think about that one for a minute.
And so in Luke 2:10, it says, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." So the shepherds now, here they are in the fields, right? And then all of a sudden they see the star, they see the light, and they have this encounter with the angel who's bringing them good news of great joy. And he says, "Don't be afraid." He says, "Behold, I bring you good news." Hallelujah. You know, when something supernatural happens, it can be scary sometimes. And certainly when somebody just appears out of nowhere. Could you imagine? Here they are at night looking in the stars and something comes out of the dark. It's just there, poof. And they're like, what is it? Probably pulled out his shepherd's crook and was like, "Hi!" What? An angel like, whoa, easy. Don't be afraid. Calm down. It's all right. Came down from God. Whack! Yeah, didn't come down from God. What do you think? I'm stupid. All right, so then the angel had to come. He says, "I got good news. Good news." He was like, "Oh, okay. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you." And the Lord shows up through the angel and he speaks to them and he gives them good news. So they got something to see. The shepherds are able to see. Joseph, Mary, they had something to see. They heard the words, but they saw. God will use his will and his ways to bring us to a place where we can see and hear. God, show me. Lord, show me what you're doing. Lord, help me to see. Help me to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The two working together. He says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Notice he tells them where the baby Jesus was born, in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. And guess what they did? Did they go, "Oh, wow, that's just great news. Okay. All right, good. Could you guys go back to where you came from? Because that was a little scary." No, they were excited. They were excited. They were so excited that it went from just hearing, it triggered their hearts so that they could put it all together. They saw the angels. They saw the singing choir in the heavenlies. They saw the star and all these things that they saw. Then they heard the message and they said, "We've got to go see." And so they got up and they went. And when God gives us a revelation, it ought to trigger us and spawn us to action where we want to see. We can have an experience with Jesus for ourselves. And so verse 2 of Matthew 2 says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Hallelujah. This is the wise men, right? The wise men, they saw the star. But it wasn't just that they saw the star and said, "Well, I believe that's the Lord's star." No, it affected their life. They changed direction. They came to pursue Jesus. They wanted to see for themselves. It says, "We saw his star in the east." They saw it. When you see things, do you recognize whether it's of God or not? There are things that are happening in all of our lives that God is doing that are designed to bring us closer to him, to bring us into fellowship with him, into relationship with him, so that we can have an experience in God. And ultimately leads to a testimony and a story that we can tell to our children and to our coworkers, to our friends, to our loved ones. It's a story that is designed to help us all come closer to God. Each of us have a story, and God is expecting us to share it and to tell of it. And so it says, "She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn." Luke 2:7. Here's Jesus. He's being born, and here she comes pregnant, ready to give birth, and the innkeeper says, "I'm sorry, we got no room." Wow, that's messed up. He says, "Yeah, I'm sorry. They're paying customers. Can't put people out." And so they said, "I do got a stable in the back. You want to go sleep in the barn? It's all right. There's only animals back there, but you can stay there." And so that's where they end up. They end up in this place. And who goes looking for the Messiah in a stable? When you get to Bethlehem, how do you know where to go? You're not expecting a stable. Only God can reveal to you where you need to go. You have to have eyes to see. You have to recognize. You've got to be able to follow. And when you do, God brings you to the place where you need to be. And I bet you that innkeeper, when he found out that that was the Son of God, he went, "Oh, God, I miss God. How do you recover from that? What kind of psychological damage was done to this guy when he realized I sent God to the stable? I said, there's no room for you." Oh my, look, could you imagine, right? I mean, think about that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would feel awful. I would feel terrible. Oh man, here is the Son of God. He's Jesus. He's in. I put him in a stable. I should have took somebody else out and say, "Hey, do you mind? You know, I got baby Jesus coming. He's the Son of God. I don't want to mess with God. I don't want to miss God. I think God deserves at least a room." Right? Would have you? That would be my thinking. But he couldn't see. He didn't know. And when you don't see and when you don't know, then you can't act in a different way. But once you have a revelation from God, once you have understanding, it changes your perspective. And that's why when people say, "I have a relationship with God," or "I know Jesus," or "I love the Lord," and their life does not change, the Word of God says they are liars and the truth is not in them. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Because that means you've had a revelation. You have an understanding. You've had something happen inside you that's going to cause you to run, to look at the star, to go after it. You're not going to just sit in the field and keep on sitting while the star moves on. You're going to be like the wise men. You're going to be like the shepherds. You're going to be like those who came. They were in pursuit of God. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord will do. That's what he does when God is stirring in your life. It's not enough just to say, "I believe," or "I just know," but God will stir within you and you'll want to have an intimate relationship with him. You will be drawn into him. You will want to be in the fellowship of the saints. You want to be amongst the believers. You will want to experience God and his strength, his wisdom, and his power. You don't want to be like Herod here. In verse 16 of Matthew 2, Herod, you know, when he realized he was tricked by the Magi, right? The wise men, they said, "Yeah, you know that Herod's got the wrong spirit. You know, he said he wanted to know where Jesus was because he was going to worship him too. Yeah, I'm buying that one, right? I got some swamp land down in Florida for you." Right? Well, you might want to take that option. But the wise men heard from God. And when you're interacting with people who hear from God and have a relationship with God, oh, they may not know the whole story, but they know enough to go a different way. And the Magi heard enough from God to know, don't go back to the government officials, because the government was after Jesus. Herod represents the government, and he was after them. And he was trying to kill the little children 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. And this is what Satan does. He comes to rob, to kill, and to destroy, to rob you and I of the very fruitfulness of Christian living, the fruitfulness of having a relationship with God. Oh, Satan doesn't care that you believe. He says, "I believe too. That's great." He says, "Yeah, just don't manifest any kingdom-like experiences. Don't share with others. Don't allow others to draw closer to God. I don't want you going into all the world and sharing your testimony and your story. I don't want you to impact other people's lives. I just want you to stay home and be quiet." Shh. It's a personal relationship with God. Keep it personal. It's just between you and God. There's nowhere in the Bible it says that. That's everybody who had an impact by God. Jesus is like, "All right, calm down, calm down. All right, don't tell anybody." And they're like, "You won't believe what Jesus did." And they're running around. Everybody wants to talk. The blind man wanted to talk. The man who experienced the liberty from the legions of demons, he wanted to talk. And Mary Magdalene, she was talking. Everybody was talking. The disciples were talking. He is risen. He is risen. When God does something amazing in your life, you can't keep quiet.
You will want to tell the world.
You just need eyes to see and ears to hear when God is doing something. This is what was happening. This is what was taking place. In Luke 2:25 to 32, it says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. Look at this. Looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is a spiritual equation. When you are walking in righteousness, righteous means you are doing things the way the Word of God directs us to do things. We're not just going off the top of our heads, but we're really trying to be faithful to the directions that God gives us in his Word. And it says that he was devout. He was devout at it. He was in pursuit. In other words, when the Word of God says praying without ceasing, this was a praying man. When it says meditate on the Word of God day and night, this man was meditating on the Word all the time. So much so that God began to give him a revelation. And that's what will happen. That's why God says, stay in my presence. Stay in my presence. And when we abide in his Word, and when we abide in prayer, we're communing in prayer, when we're fellowshipping with one another, we create a dynamic of the Spirit of God, of the presence of God, that enables us to have a revelation. God begins to show us things. And this is why some people never grow, even though they have all the right beliefs. And they don't grow because they're not communing with God. They're not applying the very basic principles that God has given us. Like Sunday school, elementary Christian living is enough for you to experience the power of the kingdom of God in your life. You just got to be able to do it. And you got to be consistent. People aren't consistent. Well, we pray here and there. Well, we go once in a while. No. Every day we're following God because God is always speaking. He's always doing things. And we need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And God is trying to bring revelation to us. It's automatic. That's the equation. But when you're walking according to the ways of the Lord, that means you know, you can see, and you're devout at it. You're holding on to it no matter what happens. You're looking for the constant. You have an expectation that God is going to do something. When you get up in the morning, you're saying, God, show me. What are we going to do today? What are you going to do today? And when you encounter someone, you can say, Lord, what would you have me to say to this person? Or what are they going to say to me? I need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord might say, because God can use anyone, and he will speak through people, and they will minister to you. And we got to have ears to hear, so that even things that we don't like hearing, we're able to learn and grow from it, so that we can become more and more like Jesus, be drawn closer to him. And it says the Spirit of God was upon him. Hallelujah. This is before the upper room, isn't it? This is before the upper room. And so here's a man filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is upon him. God is doing something in his life, because that's the equation. When you're in prayer consistently without ceasing, when you're meditating on the Word of God, it causes your heart to have a heart of expectation. You begin to look for God. You begin to expect God. You become sensitized to the things of God. You're able to see, you're able to hear, and God begins to reveal things to you. You have revelation. It says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, verse 26. It was revealed. That's the revelation that only comes when you're meditating on the Word of God and you have a lifestyle of prayer. And as we walk with God, we have these revelations of the Spirit of God, or by the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God. And his was that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God showed him that. And so he was looking. He was looking for Jesus. It says, and it came, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. Do you see that? He came into the temple. Did you come to church in the Spirit today? Oh, it's not easy to get to church in the Spirit, because there's all kinds of distractions that come into your mind. Or there's people. You ever come when you have family members, maybe the kids, maybe the spouse, somebody says something that just goes, you know, or somebody does something happens. You know, little kids, they spill something, or they break something, or there's some wackiness going in the back, or they're fighting. Man, it's hard to get to church in the Spirit, because every day, Satan will try to keep you from being in the Spirit. And every day, we need to reflect at the end of the day, Satan trying to get me. We have to reflect, and we have to say, God, show me what happened today. because we don't always know when you're in the thick of it. And we need to get home and say, God, just show me, where did things go right? Where did things go wrong? Show me what I need to learn so that tomorrow I can do better. Because the enemy, he keeps coming back. You ever fall for the same trick over and over again? Amen. You know people who have bad habits? That's a bad habit is Satan using the same trick on you over and over again. And you just keep falling for it. Because you just didn't learn. You're not paying attention. But when you're walking with God, God begins to show you, you know, every time this happens, you do this. You know, whenever that happens, and this happens. And God begins to show you things, and you begin to say, hey, I'm going to do this now. And God says, yeah, just move over. You know, don't go over there. You know, don't hang around those people. You know, don't do what that person says you ought to do. Don't follow them, because they're the blind leading the blind. And that's why you keep ending up in a ditch. That's why you keep missing out. And God leads us and he guides us by the Spirit of God. And it says, when they came, and he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents presented Jesus to the priest to carry out the customs of the law, they were going to dedicate him in the house of the Lord. And there he had this experience with God, because the Spirit of Simeon and the Spirit of Jesus ignited together. And that's what happens when you're operating in the Spirit. You're able to recognize other people who are operating in the Spirit. You're able to connect with people who are of a right spirit. If you're of a wrong spirit, you will only be able to connect with other people who have a wrong spirit like you. You cannot connect with people who have a right spirit and you got a wrong spirit. You have to be repentant, you have to be yielded and surrendered, and then God can do something in you that will enable you to connect with the right spirit. But when your mind is not in the right place, your heart will shift. And when your heart is in the wrong place, you can't connect. That's why so many Christians, they don't have any friends. That's why they can't get along with people. That's why they got so many issues and so many problems, because their heart isn't right, because their mind is off. And when your thinking is off, you're going to find yourself in a bad place, even if you claim to be hearing from God. And that's questionable, because Satan is a master deceiver, and he knows how to sound like God to a believer. He knows how to make a believer think that God is speaking to them. And that's why Jesus says, don't be so quick. Don't be so quick to listen to people. Watch. Watch and see. And the Word of God tells us over and over again, by their fruit you will know them. And it's the fruit that reflects what is really happening. And that requires revelation from God. And when God reveals things to us, we're able to navigate through life, avoiding obstacles and pitfalls. And so he says, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. So he takes Jesus up and he says, God, you are fulfilling that revelation you gave to me. The very thing that you told me, it's happening. God, I am free. I am ready. He said, I can die now, Lord. He said, I can go to be with the Lord. And he wasn't just going to die. He knew where he was going. He said, I'm going to change my local address. So I'm not here in this world, but I'll be in the presence of the Lord. Lord, I'm good to go now. I'm good to go. Because God had given him that promise. In verse 30, he says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. Oh, when God shows you something and there's a revelation that happens in your life, oh, it's just amazing. It changes your life. He says, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Do you see that? Here he is. He's talking about salvation coming to the Gentiles in the temple of the Jews. He's in the place where the Jews, filled with their pride and all their religiosity and all their religious ways, they despised the Gentiles. They thought they were bigger and better than the Gentiles. But here is a man operating under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He says it's a light of revelation to the Gentiles. That means you and I are able to share in what Christ's birth is all about. not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is looking, sees the opportunities that he presents in our life so that we can recognize the things that are happening to us. Yes, the devil may be involved, but God is even more greatly involved. And the Lord is working out all these things, these challenges, because he's teaching us how to hear his voice and follow him, how to recognize him so that we can remember the next time. There's always a next time. We will be able to see that one day that God will deliver us from all evil and that all things work together for our good so that we can follow him. Stop following the world. Stop following Christians who are claiming they can see, but they really can't see and they don't know. You follow the word of God. You abide in his presence. If you get to know the Lord for yourself, you don't need to follow other people. We're all following Jesus. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And we can only follow when we're following Christ and we follow each other. And it's easy to follow each other because we're all going in the same direction because we're all looking at Jesus. Everybody's looking at Jesus. You ever try to follow somebody in a car and they're driving like a madman, right? And they're like, did they forget we were following them? Goodness. And they're going and they're going. They're driving like nobody else is with them. But that's not Jesus. Jesus is always aware of who's following him. And he navigates through life in ways that will signal to us, pay attention, that God is showing us something so that we can experience him and be drawn closer to him so that his will can be accomplished. You just need eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Can you see what God is doing? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church? You can't follow what you cannot see and what you cannot hear. So God says, I am going to reveal it to you. I'm going to give you revelation. If you're looking, if you're seeking, you will find. So keep seeking, keep knocking. God will bring revelation into your life. He will open doors that no one can shut. He will make a way when it seems impossible. He will come down from on high and do the Magnificat experiences that only he can do that will cause you when you have a revelation to proclaim and magnify the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Our celebration dancers. Hallelujah.
Come see the baby, crib for a bed. His mother Mary laid down his sweet head. The starlight was shining, the wise men were led. And come see the baby and worship him. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, of peace, everlasting Father, Emmanuel, Holy One, Son of God, Savior of the world. Come and adore Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Emmanuel, Holy One, Son of God, Savior of the world. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, saints of God, Jesus came into this world that you and I may have life, abundant life. And Christ, he is not just a baby. It's not just another birthday, but this is about the Son of God coming into the world to redeem each and every one of us, to give us the ability to strategize as we follow the Lord, overcoming the obstacles of the enemy and bringing glory and honor to God. He's come to bring revelation. He's come to enable us to see and perceive the things related to the kingdom of God. And if we can hear his voice and follow him, he will make us fishers of men. And he will do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. We will see the manifestations of God, and God will enable our life experience to be completely different than the rest of the world, simply because we're following the Lord. Our eyes have seen what God can do, and we can trust him, and we can have faith in him, and we can walk in his ways, in the ways of righteousness, and we can help each other to stand even when the enemy is doing his worst work. We hold each other up by the power of the Spirit of God because we have a relationship with each other, because we have a relationship with God. And God enables us to overcome. And so as you celebrate this afternoon what God has done in the earth, remember that he did it just for you. He came just for you, and receive him to yourself. Walk with him. Let this new year be a new opportunity so that you can experience God on a much deeper and greater level, so that his glory will fill your life, your home, your house, your workplace, and everywhere you go. The dynamics of the power of his presence will be evident, because you have spent time with God and you have heard and seen from heaven. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you, oh God, for your word and for all that you have shared with us today by your Spirit. Lord, may this day be a day of celebration and thanksgiving and gratitude for your life being imparted in the earth. We thank you, oh God, for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas to all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are cookies and hot chocolate await with tender, juicy marshmallows just ready to be consumed.